Jillian's is still ringing. No, she's sneaking now. Jillian, you're here this time.
Yep.
Okay, and Arifa is still here? No, Arifa has... Oh, you're here. Okay.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, we dropped you as soon as you raised your administrative concern. Really,
no,
well,
I got my answer.
Right. So, are there any administrative concerns from Julia? Jillian?
Yes.
Are you there? Do you have any administrative issues that means that relate to the running of the class rather than to the subject of your internship?
No. I do not.
Then I think we can start with the main topic, start talking about substantial issues that means on how your internship is currently progressing. All right? But maybe before that, I'm going to give you a little bit about a background, what I currently do while I'm here in Russia. I'm working with a student on a project, be the very last project that I'm undertaking, I hope, register all at academic authors in a author registration system. That system allows authors to register and to let me know which documents in a document database they have written. And that's currently this is the sort of project I'm working on, and I'm currently working on using computer learning to make it easier for people to find the documents that are there. This has to be done in some sort of interactive way where users are giving me some information about the documents that are most likely theirs, and while they are doing it, a computer will look at the remaining documents that they haven't even theirs or not theirs and try to sort them, knowing what we already know about the documents that are theirs and the documents.
What's the underlying database?
Okay. Sorry?
What is the underlying database that's supporting the system?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, basically, the underlying database is I'm trying to get my hands on as many free databases about academic documents as I can. Unfortunately, there aren't many documents the databases out there. There's really only one big one, which is PubMed. PubMed is
actually. You might have more luck with DSpace.
No, DSpace is something different. DSpace is a system stores documents. I do not deal with documents directly. I deal with descriptions of documents. Okay? So all I need is a description of a document. So DSpace doesn't operate at that level because DSpace is a software to store documents, which is important if you're working with documents, but I don't actually work with documents. Right. There are, of course, open access right? Some of them run DSpace, some of them run ePrint, some of them use Fedora Commons, right? The problem with these repositories is that the underlying academic quality of the documents in there is quite variable, and the metadata extraction from these documents is relatively difficult. That's what I'm currently doing. Somebody has children running around there. I'm not sure who it is.
That's probably me. Just hold on one second.
You have to not talk.
That's hard.
You know, I was going to do this at my job, and they told me I couldn't, so.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Now you do it at your second job.
Yeah.
If you hear me say George, go away, I'm referring to my dog, so. You're the only one
with
people in the room.
Somebody still has a dog, yeah?
Who doesn't like email.
No.
Okay, let's move on about the internships themselves, right? Donna, do you want to start to talk about your internship? You're coming. I'm going down the list now, so maybe we want to be starting with Donna and then Susan and so on, and tell us something about, you know, what you're actually doing or what you're planning to do.
I started it, and I'm working at the Hicksville Public Library. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Local, it's a local history archive, and it has a structure with subject headings and it's sort of organized physically. It looks like it is, so it has a skeleton, but it's the finding aid is from like 30 years ago, and the guy was just a history buff who didn't really care about the arrangement. So I wanted to work on arrangement. So right now I'm working on weeding the files, editing the subjects, and finding redundancies and misfilings. And then working on interfiling New York Times articles from 1854 to 1960. And then there's audio and VHS tapes, which they're putting onto DVD and then on the library server. And then there's photos and slides, which have to be sorted based on if they're identified or if they're not. And then the ones that are identified, they hope to scan at some point. So it's a little bit of everything, but it has a structure, and we're kind of trying to tweak it and weed it.
And so in principle, you're working, so the idea is that you have a relatively large physical collection of a reasonable amount of diversity in that collection, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to be wanting to reorganize all that collection step by step.
Right.
How come that the finding aid is from 30 years ago? I mean, hasn't there been anybody else in the meantime?
There was a guy named William Evers who, he collected all these items, and he's the namesake for the collection, but he didn't really organize it. So 3 years ago, they decided to put one of the reference librarians in that room to start getting it together. So he's been researching, and he just started getting interns the last year or so to get it up and running. So it's functional, but it's not properly organized, I guess.
So the idea is that the collection is held together by being a collection that was given by one donor, right?
Right.
One single person gave that material to the archive.
Well,
and
he worked there and he collected it, and he was really big in the community, so a lot of people donated their items to him. So he actually, without him there would be no materials, but they're not really organized well. So if a patron came in, it would be really hard to know if they could find something just by looking at the finding aid, because it's not complete.
Okay, because the finding aids are not complete.
So it's really about arrangement and some digitizing and migrating, but mostly arrangement.
Mm-hmm. Because I guess you can't be doing a lot of digitizing because it's a very labor-intensive process, isn't it?
Yes. I work in a digital library, so I didn't really want to do that anyway because I'm already exposed to that.
Mm.
So there's another girl that's doing it with concurrently.
Mm-hmm. And these people are scanning? What is the digitizing process taking place? I mean,
she's scanning photos and slides, and she's converting, she's importing audio and video.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And they then get into an archival system?
Well, that's another story. I don't know where she's putting them. Right now they're just going on the server. So.
Yeah, but a server doesn't necessarily organize things. I mean, a server has just, I mean, if you have your collection in a folder in a server or somewhere, you know, it's not giving people access to it, right? I mean, some tech, if the documents are textual, you can have them indexed by Google, and Google can find them, right? But if the documents are photos or something like that, even the best surgeons in the world will need some extra information about that folder in order to recognize what the folder is about. Similar with a sound recording. I'm not sure if you have a sound recording. We currently have a software that can actually transcribe a sound recording into text so that it will be searchable by a search engine. Right? So it's not that today, you know, somebody mentioned, it's not, that, if you're putting on this call, the recorded call here on the internet, right, somebody wouldn't be able to search the words that I'm currently saying and find out what I said because it's said in this recorded call.
All right. The digital part, I think you're right. I don't think it's, well, because they don't have metadata compiled, and they don't have catalog numbers, so I don't know how she's saving them. I should ask her, but that's not my project, that's so... Gotcha. But I can work together. For sure. But, now that you mention it, I'm glad I'm not doing that part.
So how do you think that the Palmer School of Education fits the type of job that you're doing?
Well, I took the archival classes with Hunter, and I'm interested in working on developing organizing, arranging, and developing a finding aid for a part of a collection, which is why I went there, because they have, you know, that's my project.
So the idea is that the internship will give you experience in developing a real finding aid, right? Basically from more or less some scratch, because there isn't much information about this material they held there before. Or there is a finding aid, but it's old?
It's old, and it's like the Hicksville archive, but there's folders that are titled Hicksville. So it's like, what's in there? You know, there are very many useful headings, but basically I'm going through them to try to get a handle on what's there and then come up with, like, there was a folder with aviators, authors, and artists. So we wanted to separate those out. Maybe, you know, singers, musicians, entertainers, like those kind of problems, and then figure out what materials we have and then figure out the best way, the best finding aid, and then make the physical collection reflect that plan.
Mm-hmm. So the main problem for you is that you basically have to create your own subject classification in some ways?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're basing your subject classification on what you're actually finding, rather than that you take a classification that would be externally imposed on you and say, this is the classification we're going to be adopting, and from that classification you classify things into it. So the first thing is that you're sifting the entire collection and saying, okay, broadly, we can classify this in these groups, and then trying to adhere to the classification that we made.
Right.
Yeah, that's not trivial. And so you're doing this in bits by pieces, so because you said it's going to be taking such a long time?
Well, with my work schedule and family, I'm doing 4 to 6 hours a week. So,
mm-hmm.
And once I get underway, then I can go in without supervision and kind of tick away at the hours maybe a little faster, but I'm definitely not going to finish it by... I was planning on doing fall, spring, but that, now I'm doing summer, fall.
By the way, do you have a loudspeaker in your room? Because I hear an echo coming from you.
No.
Yeah, I hear that too.
There is some sort of jippy. Yeah, some sort of jumping thing here, right? Coming out there. I don't know where it comes from, right? Yeah, okay. All right. Are there any questions for Donna? Any questions for Donna? There's a car passing by. No questions for Donna?
No, but I'm using a mute button when I'm not talking, so... It cuts down on some of the noise. Is that okay?
That's probably a good idea. I don't have any noise here, so, you know, I'm sitting in the middle of a forest, and it's 5 o'clock in the morning. No, that's a good thing about being 5 o'clock in the morning. Nobody's making noise. It's a great idea, you know. I consider this as fighting back against my neighbor. So the other day he was doing some drilling work. So the revenge of the professor. Okay. Things here are quiet, but I guess right, you know they have background noise on the top. So if you can mute your thing while you're not talking. Okay, moving on to Susan's setup.
Yes, hi. I started my internship on May 8th at the ACLU in Lower Manhattan. It's the New York office, and.
One moment.
The archives.
Is the American Civil Liberties
Union? Yes.
American mm-hmm. Civil Liberties Union.
Yes. I go Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 7 until 4. And I started on May 8th, and I'll go until June 19th. So it's a little over the 120 hours. But, it's working out well. Currently, they did not have an archive in the New York affiliated office until about maybe 2 years ago. They didn't have an archivist or anybody. Most of their permanent records are housed at Princeton University. So what they're doing is, and what they have been doing, there's an archivist and an assistant archivist. They've been trying to create an archives in the New York office. And most of the archives, because they also have records management and an archive system. And what they do is they have that set up for the lawyers at that New York office. They have a loop where they display what they have in the archives. So if anybody is looking for an old brief, they can look on the archives loop. And they can call the archives office and request that information. What they just did, they had Lean Good and something else where they had all their records, and they just started in Magic Genie. And there's another intern there with myself on the same days, and we've been watching some of the learning about the in Magic Genie. It's supposed to make everything easier for the lawyers to obtain the information that they might need. When we first started, there were a couple of things that they said we would be doing, you know, conduct some reference queries for the staff and board members, cataloging, processing, and records boxes, and writing container lists for newly transferred boxes. We acquire boxes, but the boxes come from the people that work within the ACLU. So it's not like they get collections from outside persons. Everything comes from affiliated offices in different states or from the people right inside the New York office. I processed a box of prisoners' letters the first week I was there from 1965. 1969, and they came from the Georgia office. We received a collection of about 55 boxes from the North Dakota office that closed. They were only open for 9 years, and that's all mostly Indian newspapers. That was very interesting. The other intern is working on that. I also have an independent project, and it's comparing the archival copy of the National Board meeting minutes to a reference copy that they had made on archival bond. They keep in binders, and they want to eliminate those binders. And the problem is a lot of the archival copies, I have to compare both and make sure what's in the binder is also in the archival copy. And eventually they're going to microfilm those, but because they're bound right now, some of them are very old, dates back to, I would say, the 30s. I started with 1959. I've gotten up to 1975 right now. After I compare the archival copy to the copies in the binder to make sure the sets mirror each other, if it's not already scanned digitally, because that's what they had started doing that, I also have to check to make sure that the copy exists digitally and make sure it's in PDF form and run the OCR on it so we can dispose of the paper reference copy. Also have to update and improve the indexes for those records. And it's definitely an ongoing project, and I have to write a detailed procedure of how I've been going about the process. So when the new interns come, when we leave, they'll be able to pick up and continue, because it does, the binders run up until the present date. So I started it in, 1959, and there are some before, but not the binder copies. So it's a tedious job, but it is very interesting. And that's what I've been doing so far. We do some of the, they have on-site shredding, so we go around and once a month we empty out the bins all around. There's about 2.5 floors of employees that work there, and the Brinks truck comes and we empty that into the bins, and then we bring it outside and it gets sucked up into the machine, and we have to stand there and watch and make sure that everything's been shredded, because it's all files that need to be securely destroyed. And that's really about it. That's all we've been working on. It's interesting, but well, it's all self-contained within the ACLU.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like a lot of work to me. I mean, you've been touching on a number of things, and I took I did take some notes, because some of the things that you actually talked about, I'm not really familiar what they actually mean.
Okay.
So I thought maybe I'd raise some question about what this actually is. And one of the things that first came here is the loop. What actually is the loop?
It's in the computer system, and what they do is they have the summaries of the board meeting minutes, and they're scanned digitally into the computer, and it's a program. What you can do is you click on it, and anyone, say a lawyer is working on a specific case and they want to see, find a brief from something similar that from years before, they can find an access on the loop to see if there's anything. What they can do is it's like a finding aid, and they type in what they're looking for, and then because we ran the OCR on there, that brings up anything that's related to the case that they're working on. And it might show specific cases, and the meeting minutes will come up, and then they'll contact the archives office. And what we do is, it's really beautiful. They have a room that's climatically controlled that contains the records and or archives, because it is both. That they could be looking for. And then they have to put in a request, and they have to take the whole box of files and find what they're looking for, and then they have to sign it in and out and then bring it back. So the loop is kind of like a finding aid for the information and all the legal briefs that are contained at the ACLU. And if we don't have it any longer in the New York office, it's most likely at Princeton, in the Princeton archives. Because that's where the permanent archives go after a certain date. I guess after the records management date, that's what happens. They send them off. It's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. But basically, the loop is a computer system, as I understand.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
It's a computer system, either print documents from all the meetings have been fed, or so you feed in some electronic documents, some current
meetings,
okay, for the board members, right?
Yes.
And, mm-hmm. and that you're also feeding in actual case documents that you have, and that the society has been the Civil Liberties Union, the union has been gathered over time. These are scanned mm-hmm. and filled into that computer system, and then somebody can come and ask a question to that computer system, and it will give the person related documents, right? These documents may be there in full text if the documents are digital. They may be there in a scanned, some sort of scanned copy if there's a digital replica of the copy. But people can also have access to the original of that copy that would lie in the archives and that is in use in print.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But once the copy is digital, why would people need to go to the archives? Are there problems with the OCR?
Sometimes there, I guess because of the program that they were using before and they had different databases going on at the same time, they trying to put everything on the InMagic Genie that they're supposed to be up and running sometime this week. So I'm not really sure about that whole system because we haven't learned the whole thing yet. And I guess we'll find some more out tomorrow and Friday. And you know, they'll send us, we're supposed to have a training on Friday. And what's good about this internship is they bring the interns in on everything. And they treat you like you're not really just an intern, but you're one of the employees, and they give you the same training. So it's really very nice.
Yeah, the second thing you mentioned was Lean Good.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that Lean Good was. I guess this is a database or... everything was like in Excel. The archives, the way that they programmed the archives into, it was called Lean Good. So I'm not sure, because we kind of came in when everything was changing over. So we processed some of the boxes on the Lean Good, which is in Excel, you know, with the call numbers and, you know, the title and all the information. How, you know, the format that they use there. But somehow, I think the way they accessed everything, they had to go to all these different places. With the InMagic Genie, InMagic Genie is kind of like a, you know, it's like a library system, but what they've done is they've had it set up by the IT people to function in it for the archive as opposed to as a library system. And it shows, we went in the other day to, they had us spend 2 hours searching for items, doing the Boolean search and seeing what, you know, if the IT people had put all the information in correctly and we were able to retrieve, you know, what it is we were looking for that we knew should be at the ACLU. And it would bring up all the related items, whether they were photographs or some ephemera, but mostly paper documents. So we were using that. So everything is in Magic Genie. It's really very good. The other system was kind of crappy.
The Loop.
The Loop and everything, because they really didn't. Because they started 2 years ago, and I guess they didn't really have much money, however they started it, this is what they had. And as they've been progressing, they're advancing a little more. So the InMagic Genie is... Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't, no.
Yeah.
No, I have to, but like you say, it's basically an integrated library system.
Yes,
they've adopted it. Presumably the library had that program already. They had purchased it, and somehow they managed to adopt it to an archival function using some in-house customization, which was done by in-house computer people.
Yeah, yes. It's good. So they're still working out the kinks, but they're very happy about it. And so maybe next week it'll be up and running, and when we meet again, I can let you know a little more about it.
But you're doing testing basic on it. That means... You're looking for a known item. So here the test is, we know that this item exists in our archive. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go and test our system by searching for it and see if we can actually find it.
Right.
And if we can actually find that gives us some confidence that if we have a generic search query, that we will find all the items that we currently have in our collections.
Correct.
Test.
Yeah. So now, far,
So before I raise more questions, are there anybody else who has more questions on I think it's a Suzanne's presentation, yeah?
Yeah, yes.
No, I guess from the silence, nobody else has any questions. these are the headquarters of the American Civil Liberties Union, yeah?
What was that?
You're working at the actual headquarters?
Yes, the New York office on Broad Street down by the Staten Island Ferry. Yes.
And you mentioned independent project. What is an independent project in there? So you're doing your internship and then you have an additional project?
Well, the internship, they try and have us work on, what they're working on in the office, so we're not strictly doing one thing where we're exposed to other things, like different tests that would go on in the archives there. But my independent project is the board meeting minutes. There's another intern there from the Palmer School, and she's working on accessioning those boxes from the North Dakota. We could have worked on that together, but we chose to do two separate things. So she's doing the Indian newspapers, and I'm working on the board meeting minutes. Mm-hmm. And then we really haven't been doing anything else. We haven't done any reference queries, but we did accession the boxes that came from the Georgia office. Like I said, I did the prisoners' letters. And that was just putting them in newer archival folders and putting them in new boxes because they were pretty rancid. I had to take out rusty staples. Everything was stapled. Everything had, if there was 10 pages, they had 12 staples. It was incredible. So that, I had to do that. But mainly it's, just working on our independent projects that they give us to do because they have so much to do. I believe that the ACLU exists on interns. Besides the archivist and the assistant archivist, they really can't afford to have any other paid positions. So they have interns doing all this work and trying to get their archives, up to snuff.
Mm-hmm.
And have it functioning.
Up to snuff, you think?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really everything looks like it's coming along really nicely. It's going to be really good once they get everything reset in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You said something that contains both records and archives?
Yes, because there's ongoing, they have a records management system. It's not just an archives because it is a functioning, it's a union. They're constantly they have cases that they're working on. And what happens is throughout, they're called projects. Like they have like gay and lesbian rights project. They have the, they have it broken down into separate projects that they work on, representing people that have problems, with their civil liberties. And, that's what they're all about. And,
Archive contains records. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not an archivist, but I thought an archive contains records.
Yes, but a lot of times the archives, a lot of them contain records that are no longer in use.
Mm-hmm.
But they have Professor Safady, goes there, to help them with their records management. Because they have records that they're constantly in use, and then after the records management date is done, they'll process those records and send them off to Princeton for their permanent archives. But they also keep other archives there that they use quite a bit. So they have both. Those meeting minutes that I'm working on, those are my God, there's some of them, like, started in 1920, and they're still there. They're not in Princeton because the lawyers used them. So they have current, what I'm saying, I guess, is they have current records, and then they have the older records that are not used as often, but they are used sometimes. And instead of going calling to Princeton all the time for them, they house them there.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that cleared it up. Then. Yeah. Somebody has his music going. Ooh. Yeah.
One second.
Okay. We'll probably will have to look at this the day. Archives and records. Because I thought, you know, an archive contains records, or something can't be an archive and records at the same time. But just being a little bit over rigorous here. All right. Any question from anybody else for Susan? Because since there was silence before, probably not more. Moving on to Connor.
Hi. I'm currently in my third week at the Quinn Library at Fordham University. In particular, I'm working in the
Which library is it? So I didn't get it.
The Quinn Library at Fordham University.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Currently, I am working the reference desk. Particular doing reference interviews, I'm learning from other professionals there what the proper method to do it is. Also, by helping the patron, I am more familiar with database and searching methods. And also, I'm learning about different bibliographic tools such as RepWorks and WorldCat. And also, I am joining various departments of Fordham, in particular, Electronic Reserve. I'm learning, one day of my internship, I spent a few hours each day. I go to the different departments. I particularly learned how Fordham University sets up their e-res, which was kind of interesting. Then also, on a daily basis, I work with interlibrary loan. I do polls for other requests from other universities, and also I work with the Duplifiche machine to make copies of microfiche dissertations. And also later on in my internship, I'm going to be participating in student orientations for the incoming students. So, and also just get the full well-rounded aspect of a reference librarian's job, and I'm also learning about the other departments, which is kind of interesting as well. But that's pretty much it as of now. Any questions?
Yes. So you're dealing with mainly. So your main job is dealing with reference queries.
Yes, mainly I'm dealing with reference queries, but also doing all the other minor parts of the job, with interlibrary loan and. A little shelf reading, and that's pretty much as of now. It's very basic at the moment.
Do you get a lot of reference questions? I guess in the summer it's not that busy, is it?
It's not as busy now, but you get the typical questions like, where's this book? Where's the stapler? And you do get some more complicated questions, like, How to get a Metro card to go to a different library, accepting Metro cards. I have one question about Bloomberg system. So pretty much nothing, not overly busy, but you get a steady flow of questions during during my shift.
Mm-hmm. I guess quite a lot of these questions appear to be administrative, right? They relate to the administration of the way the library is run, right? Not so much about, you know, fundamental things, you know, I mean, like how, you know, what is the best source for this and that?
No, I've got, those are few and far between, but you get more administrative questions during the summer, but
mm-hmm.
I had a question about this, I can't remember the exact name of it, but there was this patient that wanted to know about psychological disease, and she wanted to find journal articles, so I directed her, I showed her how to use EBSCOhost, because EBSCO has a lot of aggregated a lot of journals together that are aggregated on a variety of different topics. So I used the multi-database search tool and helped her locate articles.
Mm-hmm. On EBSCO.
On EBSCO, yes.
EBSCO is typically what they purchased in, right? In terms of article database.
Yeah, they also have that. They have JSTOR for more, you know, like history and other social sciences. But EBSCO is the go-to database, though, because it has so many database and subjects to look through. But there are, you know, they have a variety of other subject-based databases for each discipline. They have medicine, they have women's studies, they have medieval studies, which Fordham has actually a very good medieval studies department.
Medieval?
Medieval studies, yes.
Mm-hmm. But these are these are a rather specialized subject, isn't it? If somebody's in medievalist.
You mainly don't get any questions. Mainly, the main questions you get are related to social sciences because the graduate school's up there, and also business questions because also that graduate school is located up at my campus. Because there's two campuses, there's one in Rose Hill in the Bronx, and there's one in Lincoln Center on 59th and 9th. Mm-hmm. So it depends, but mainly you get social sciences, education, and business related questions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're getting a good start in the reference librarian's job there.
Yeah, I'm getting. Learning a lot of little tricks and a little tools of the trade, and also basically the inner workings of an academic library, which is, I think, is very valuable for my future future profession in academic librarianship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. What is that Dupliffish thing?
Dupliffish is a very, very old machine for copying miniaturized versions of dissertations.
So basically they have dissertations on microfiche?
Yeah, they still do.
And basically, they copy them?
Yeah, they copy them for other for interlibrary loan use.
So that they send out a copy of that microfiche if somebody requires it?
Yes.
And people still read old dissertations on microfiche?
Surprisingly, they still do, because sometimes that's the only version that's available to them, so they have to use that medium for viewing it.
Mm-hmm. These are dissertations, PhD dissertations?
Yes, these are PhD dissertations, but there are also some master's theses as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on a variety of topics. A
master's dissertation is that is usually that academically valuable that it would, that somebody would want to go through it on a microfilm and read it, particularly if it's old.
Sometimes it's...
Yeah, it depends. I guess in some areas of research, you know, if the research is very specialized, say in medieval history, somebody has happened already to have worked on that particular thing, you know, then maybe it's... Yeah.
I mean, it could also be that this is an early work of a more prominent author, and they need to look at the older work before they can write further research, do further research on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, yeah.
It's a variety of different things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are there any questions to Connor?
Guess not.
There's some kids are still running around, yeah? I think it's at Michael's place?
No.
No?
No.
There's some background somewhere from somebody. Yeah, I think in
general... That's not me, I was on mute.
Yeah. It's. I guess it's generally a good idea if you can mute your microphone while you're not talking, so we don't get interrupting from...
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, you're coming along very clearly. I think generally the sound quality is good. I can hear you guys pretty well. Sometimes when somebody speaks, there is some interference coming. In Susan's talk, there was some sort of strange noises coming through.
Yeah.
And sometimes we get somebody has some sort of background noise that comes in. But otherwise, the sound seems to be running fine, you know.
Yeah.
Which is amazing, given that I'm sitting on the other side of the world, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 11 time zones away, so it's basically a turn around the globe, that's where I am. Right. Okay.
Alright.
Okay, Frank, time for you to unmute.
Okay, I started my internship at a public library near my town. Basically, my goal is to get a good rounded understanding of how a public library works. Since my first day was yesterday, we really haven't gotten into too many things in detail. It's basically an overview of the whole library. And I sat down with different people that...
excuse me, Scott needs your attention.
That works in different departments, like the circulation, the reference, the children's area, and the IT area. I'm not sure where exactly it's going to go, but I'm going to try to help out wherever I'm needed and to... just assist wherever I can.
Mm-hmm. So are you going to be thinking of making a career change towards or working in a public library later?
Well, essentially, I mean, I started the master's program because I wanted to bolster my position at my job. I was given a promotion based upon my pursuing this degree because... I work at a broadcast facility, and we have a library of not just physical media, but a lot of digital media as well. And I've been working closely with systems at my job. I also develop databases for them. So I just felt that this would be a useful degree to have. Also, if I wanted to do some part-time work, it would be nice to be able to go to the local library and put in some time there.
Mm-hmm. 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 So that was your decision of going for a public library internship?
Yes, because most of the people in my classes were geared towards school media, mm-hmm. and so I felt it would be more convenient if I chose the public library route.
Mm-hmm.
I've taken a lot of computer-related courses. Of course, I've taken, your 650 and 651. They were pretty useful at my current job. So I'm just looking to take what I've learned and kind of apply it to where I'm working right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically, you've not been given a specific mission of what you're supposed to be doing. You're just being taking on as a general helper, and so you may be sent around to different departments or different areas and seeing different things.
Yeah, I explained to them that I really wanted a better understanding of how a public library runs, because if I don't know something down the road where I decide to make a change, the library, working as a librarian doesn't really pay that well, but administration pays a little better, and I felt that I had some administration experience where I work, and perhaps the understanding of how a library works would be useful in that that pursuit. I will say that they were interested in my computer skills. Not that it's that great, but they were interested in any help that I could give them with constructing flyers concerning how to use a specific database that they have, and they have a bunch of them. So I'm going to attempt to write maybe a one or limited page item about how to use a database, particular database that they have. They've given me some examples that they would like to push on their patrons. So if I can help there, I'll do that.
Mm-hmm. So that's basic documentation work then. That would be a specific project that you'd be undertaking.
Yeah, you know, I they want me to sit with next week. I'll probably be sitting at the reference desk to observe. And probably I'll go back to the children's area to observe that again. And any projects that I'm working on, if they feel I can help them with that, they'll give it to me. Because I'm looking for a general. I'm not pursuing one specific area. I'm just trying to get a very good general sense of the whole operation there.
So you'll keep a log, to hand in some sort of report. So you'll have these pieces, and then you'll just simply report on what you've been doing every time, right? Something like
that. Yes, I'm doing the journal, and I'm kind of following the way the handbook explains. I'm listing the things that I did that day, and if I could draw upon any connections to what I've learned in theory or anything I've observed that I feel that I have a comment about, I'm including that as well.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody have any question for Frank?
Is that acceptable?
Yes, I've got a question.
Please go ahead.
Yes.
Yes, have you actually witnessed the great variety of different things that happen in public libraries?
Well, I only started yesterday. I probably will soon, because I'm spending a full day with them once a week. I'll also be increasing some time there when vacation time is available at my job. I'll be taking it at the library. But so far, my single day there, I really didn't observe much about the patrons. I was mostly talking to the faculty.
Oh, as you see what happens on the floor and the interactions that can have, I've seen some doozies. There was the strange man who used to watch the female high school pages, and the reference and the front desk nicknamed him Mr. Peepers.
I've heard similar stories.
Yes,
has.
Oh, go ahead.
I think every library has stories like that, and I did hear a few from some of the people that are working there.
The thing is, be prepared to see the entire range of people. Like, I think there was one time we had a homeless man come in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you just encounter anything and everything. It's like free for all. And especially now that the economy's not doing well, people are starting to rely on libraries a lot more.
Yeah, well, that would be good because it'll give me something to write about. And, you know, how many times can you really, you know, write about, you know, I don't know, the circulation desk per se. I'm aware of the different characters that may pop in, and looking forward to it. Break up the day a little bit.
Okay, I guess, Frank, you can mute now.
Thank you.
Let's move on to Michael Kim. Michael?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry. Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. I start my internship this Thursday at Marvel Entertainment. And from what they told me, I'll be just cataloging their material, their collection, using Access. There'll be another intern there. I don't know if I'll be working with her during my internship. I'll be there just 2 days a week. And that's it so far.
So So you're doing cataloging with Microsoft Access?
Access. See, I've never used Access before, and that's the one concern that I have. I've never used it, so...
But Access is a database software, isn't it? It's not a cataloging software.
Yeah, it's. I think it's a database thing. From what they told me, it's just essentially just organizing their books and using Access.
And so, but Access is so they already have some customization of that Access installation to do the cataloging.
From what I've told, I mean, I haven't seen it yet. I haven't, been there yet, so...
So, yeah. I mean, obviously, you haven't seen it. You can't really fill us in with a hell of a lot of details because you haven't seen it. But, I mean, you'd been able to see it, and then you would be able to see how, Access has been adapted to cataloging. But if you haven't seen it, then there's something you can't really quite comment on this at this time. But maybe that's something we can pick up in July.
Yes.
Because I'd be interested in seeing, how is Access being customized and supporting cataloging.
Right.
And that's mainly what you're going to be doing? So you're going to be doing cataloging?
Yeah. Their library isn't that big. They've had interns there before, just doing their own project. And, they give us, some direction and help, obviously. But I think usually they're just projects that are geared for the intern.
Mm-hmm. So it's a very different internship to what Frank is doing, because you'd basically be given a certain task to do, and then you do that task.
Right.
Whereas Frank is being shown around, taken around the public library to understand how the public library actually works.
Exactly, yes.
Mm-hmm. So you would have to do something more in-depth.
Yes.
Okay. But I understand it's difficult for you to comment further until, you've seen this. But you're already taken on to Marvel, isn't it? Isn't that on your Skype image? Is that some sort of Marvel comic thing?
That's Spider-Man. That's my image. Yeah. So, I mean, it just seems to fit me. I'm a comic book fan, so I really want to do this internship.
I guess this is the dream internship for somebody who's a comic fan, isn't it?
Yeah, you could say that. So hopefully I'll do more work than just have fun there. I mean, it seems to be a good environment. They've had a whole bunch of interns have been there, and from what I've heard, it's a good experience because it's a corporate level type of environment, but at the same time they're having fun, and you're dealing with artwork and writers and pencilers and stuff like that. So
yeah, it's a corporate environment, but it's not a boring corporate environment, I guess.
Right.
Because it's a corporate environment that lives on creativity, essentially, right?
Right. Exactly.
Right. Rather than something that lives on like a Chinese sweatshop, right? It lives on mechanically things, like demolition site. Yeah, just demolish and that's it. Yeah. This sounds interesting, right? Unfortunately, I don't think you have a lot to say at this stage, because it's just stuff, right? So, but I'd be looking forward to hearing a lot about your internship in the July session.
Cool, yes. Same here.
Any questions for Mike? At this time, one question more. How did you get this? I mean, how did the dream internship meet you? Did you approach Marvel? You just simply went there and said, hey, I'm a comic guy.
It was on the kiosk. I think Dr. Hunter posted something for was Marvel, but it was working in the inventory section. But that was taken, and they offered me the spot in the library. So. So I just took it, and that's pretty much it. So,
okay. Since there are no more questions, I guess for Mike, let's move on to Bruce.
Okay, I'm doing my internship at Columbia University. It's in the Butler Library, but it's working in the recap division. The recap is their consortium of their offsite storage facilities. They work with Columbia, Princeton, and the New York Public Library. And it's just begun. I've worked 2 days so far, and we're overviewing the recap procedures and their recap databases. We're also going through their the processes and procedures and the guidelines that they use to identify misshelled recap items. We've also gone through the Voyager cataloging system, and it's kind of just at an introductory level at this point, but we'll be doing more of that as the internship progresses. We've also been doing some searches in Butler Library for misshelved books, and also in the East Asia Library. And we'll be, in the future, we'll be working with the various departments and the 25 libraries there at Columbia and understanding their processes and how they handle shipments. I'm sorry, how they handle the books and how they ship them off to the recap facility. Each week we're going through an article that kind of addresses the issue. The first one was a library storage facilities and the future of print collections in North America. And then this last day I worked, we talked about last copies. What's at risk? And this is last copies of books that where, it's the only copy that exists.
There was some noise. Maybe somebody wanted to ask a question. No.
They were an intern there.
I'm sorry, was that a question? Okay, well, at any rate, as the internship progresses, as I said, we'll be working with the different departments and reviewing the procedures that's used, throughout the Columbia University system.
Was there a question?
No.
Somebody wants to say something, but he's not going through. Susan?
It wasn't me.
No, it wasn't you. Jeremy?
No.
Jen? Okay.
I'm still on mute.
You're still on mute, yeah. Well, not now, but it's a good idea, I guess, to have the mute button just right next to you. And if you have any background noise, to mute what's coming on, because everybody can hear some sort of blah 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 blah. But this sounds like a really interesting internship to me, Bruce. So the recap is a shared facility between a number of academic libraries in the New York area, is it?
It is. It's housed in Princeton, New Jersey. And it's Columbia, Princeton, and the New York Public Library. Mm-hmm. So
you're basically... Yeah, continue.
It's an interesting issue that hadn't really come up during my studies, that, there's really a limit to how much space is available in many academic libraries, because many of them are in cities where there just isn't room to... just to put up another facility. So, and I was speaking with someone from NYU, and they also have a similar situation set up as well. So it looks like, it's just interesting because it's something that hasn't come up before, and it seems to be an issue that will come up, as circulation increases.
And a recap item is then something that is currently in recap.
They call it a recap regardless of where it is. But it goes to recap, but then they can be recalled back. And then they have, various places where they can come to at Columbia. And it normally just takes one day. It's normally an overnight situation. So from the patron's point of view, there's really no delay. They get the book is available for them the following day, and then they can return it really anywhere. On campus.
Mm-hmm. But the items, recap stores the items for every library separately. So recap is not a sharing items facility.
No, they share the space, but not the, you know, the, in other words, it's a facility that has certain amount of space set aside for each one of the parties. So, you know, what they found is that in these facilities, they can file them much more densely than they can in a normal library. So they make much better use out of the space there.
And that's integrated with the Voyager cataloging system. So the Voyager cataloging system has some sort of module in there that supports the management of RECAP?
Well, there's two separate systems. There's the RECAP database and then the Voyager system. But the Voyager will indicate if the book has been shipped off to RECAP. And it will also, of course, indicate if it's been checked in back at, say, you know, one of the libraries, say Butler Library. If it came back, it will indicate that it's been there or that it's been sent out to or given out to a patron or returned from the patron, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. And then the RECAP database is something separate, is it? So that
yes.
basically says which items you currently have in RECAP.
Exactly.
But that's already in the Voyagers, so...
Right, but the difference, I think, for RECAP is that they don't catalog the books in RECAP according to the call number. They have a separate RECAP database. So the Voyager will say that it's at RECAP, but if you are at RECAP, it won't tell you the Voyager won't tell you where it is. That's
all right. Okay, so that the idea is that the book that Voyager knows is in RECAP. You can't identify it immediately as the book that is in RECAP. You have to separately search it on RECAP.
Correct.
So they basically have two separate set of identifiers for items, and they're not necessarily compatible with each other. So it requires some human intervention.
Well, I think from the patron's point of view, all they see is Voyager. You know, if they go onto the Clio.
Yeah.
A database. All they're going to see is that it's off-site. They don't know, you know, they don't have any of the details about it. But when they recall the book, that information then goes to RECAP. And at that point, then one of the RECAP employees in Princeton would be responsible to, you know, go through the database to locate the book.
And RECAP, is it a separate company? Is it a company that is... purely a commercial company that has contracts with these different universities, or is it something that is some sort of a joint non-profit that has been founded by the participants?
Yeah, it's more of a joint non-profit, a consortium, as they call it. They run it together. I believe each one of the universities in the public library has some employees there as well, because... You can actually go to the RECAP facility if you're in the area. It's just outside of Princeton, New Jersey, so you can access your books there as well. You don't have to have them recalled.
Slava grape everywhere.
Jeremy, is that you? You want to say something?
I thought I was on mute.
No, you aren't. No.
Sorry, I'm going to mute myself.
Not a problem. I mean, say something by all means, you know. So you went on and had a look for misshelf books?
Yes, we did. Actually, we did that the first day after we did the... as I said, it's only been 2 days, but we did kind of an overview of the different systems just to get some familiarity with it. And we actually visited a few of the different departments... in a university like Columbia, they have, it's huge. It's 25 libraries, and so we did visit a couple of the different departments, and then lastly, we ran a database. We went through the database and we ran an Excel report, and we went and actually did a search and did locate some of the misshelled or missing. Items.
So, but that is a physical search, is it? You have to
yes,
go to
yeah.
a physical location and go and find where it actually is, right?
That's right. So, you know, and it's a fairly large library system. There's 25 libraries. So, the book actually could be misshelled there. It could be in reference. It could be in the bindery. It could be, you know, in you know, any one of a number of locations, because there's only a limited number of places where a book will come back, or should come back. However, once it's given to a patron and that patron returns it, it could wind up in any one of those libraries. So it's pretty varied, really.
Any questions for Bruce? We have three more speakers left, and we have about 18 minutes. 18 minutes to go, so I think we probably will be finishing on time. Okay, we'll pick on Bruce. I'm sure there's going to be some more things to discuss, to talk about at the next meeting.
Yes.
Jen?
I didn't start my internship yet. I start tomorrow. But it's Sony Archives in the city. And I guess I'm just going to be cataloging their huge files and CDs and everything else that they have. But I know he said he had some kind of project. What it is, I have no idea. I'll find out tomorrow. So.
Sony, we're talking about the Japanese electronics company?
It's the Sony Music Entertainment.
Ah, you talk about Sony Music Entertainment.
Mm-hmm. And they carry two of the oldest record companies in the world, all their files and CDs and everything else that they have. So I guess, I don't know, I'm going to be organizing that and cataloging that and stuff like that. So they don't do anything on the computer. Everything is, you know, not digitalized. So it'll probably be pretty neat.
They don't do anything on a computer.
No, like I talked to them about doing like digital libraries and stuff like that, and they don't like to do any of that. So they have like huge files of everything that they have.
Wow.
Yep.
You would have thought that a company like Sony can afford to get the state-of-the-art digital system, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but he said he didn't like it. He likes to touch and feel everything and organize things like that, which is pretty crazy because it's a huge building, and for them to carry two of the oldest record companies, all of their files, it's really insane. So it'll be really neat to see what happens.
Well, I'll be interested in that. I guess we'll hear more from you later.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get this internship?
I looked on JobNet, and they needed two positions, and I guess they liked me, so they picked me.
Because I guess it's a good address to have, Sony, to work for.
Yeah, the only thing I'm worried about is that it's archives, and I'm interested in archives, but I don't think I'm going to get a job in archives, so I'm kind of lacking the whole public library, like, internship for, you know, potential jobs, but I don't know if that'll be an issue when I'm looking for like a real job, but we'll see.
Yeah, I guess what I'm thinking in the second conference talk, I think I'm going to be switching a little bit more emphasis on jobs and job prospects and what people want to do and the way they want to be getting to the coming to the job that they want, and some advice on that. So I think we'll switch a little bit emphasis on that to the second talk. Okay, that leaves us. Any questions for Jen? So when I have Jeremy Lauber.
Yes, that's me. I would like to say good luck to the person starting the internship tomorrow.
Thank you.
This Friday, I'm going to be having the third session of my internship. I'm doing it about once a week. So, and I'll also use some vacation days from work to also squeeze in maybe another 2, 3, or 4, or 5 sessions to try to fit in the 120 hours before the start of the fall. And where I'm interning at the CW Post Special Collections and Archives right down the hall from Palmer. And I'm working with the two archivists in there.
Mm-hmm. And what do they currently work on?
What am I? I'm currently working on... They recently acquired a new collection. The W.E. Hutton collection. And I'm going through and basically, I'm gonna organize everything as closely as I can to, original order. But it's basically the contents of people's desks and personal letters and, random financial documents and, I swear to God, I found a, one of those, things you use to brand cows in there too.
Sorry? Brand cow.
You know what you... A branding... A thing that you use to brand cattle.
A branding iron?
I swear there's one of them in there.
So it's basically some sort of iron that you put on the cattle to make a sign on a cattle?
Can you repeat that one more time, Professor? I didn't hear you.
Yeah, it's basically some piece of iron that you put on a cattle to
I think so. Either that or it's a really fancy thing that you use for wax. But there's a wooden handle, it's metal, and I'm... You know, I don't know exactly what its use would be, but I think it was more decorative than anything. But it was him and his family's life. Personal papers, letters from their kids, pictures, memorabilia. And I'm looking at all this in the boxes, and I'm just slowly going through trying to attempt to organize it into some sort of original order.
Mm-hmm.
That's for ease of accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's what I'm doing. And W.E. Hutton is related to... The reason that they acquired this was because one of his brothers, the brother of W.E. Hutton, what married Marjorie Post.
Yeah, that's why I think the name is sort of familiar. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was one of Marjorie... I think Marjorie Post had 3 husbands, did she? And he was one of them?
I think this was the second.
Ah,
the second
yeah.
husband was this guy's brother.
All right, yeah. Yeah, I think the second husband was the most important one.
Really?
Wasn't it?
Well, that's one of the things that at some point that they want me to do is look up the history of Marjorie Post and all of that. Because, the Hutton family, it's like 3 generations, and all of them are named the first, second, and third. So you have W.E. Hutton the first, W.E. Hutton the second, W.E. Hutton the third. Then you have W.F. Hutton the first, W.F. Hutton the second, W.F. Hutton the third. So when you're reading these letters, sometimes you're not exactly sure who's writing to who because they don't use the Roman numerals to make it easy.
I mean, why are they insisting on giving people the same names? I mean, what's good as a name if it can't be distinguished between a number of people?
I don't know, but it creates a lot of confusion. Funny.
But don't you have some sort of, I mean, when you catalog these items, don't you have already some sort of cataloging that is key scheme that is given to you that is used in other areas of the collection that they have?
No. This one, I'm trying to keep to original order with this since it's an archive. And I'm creating this as I go to try to make it as heuristic as I can. So I'm keeping all the letters together. I'm keeping all the financial documents together. If it's just like photos that I find, I separate them into a pile of photos. But for instance, I opened one letter and I found a photo and a check. You know, like the son was just sending a check back to his father, and there was a photo in there that I would keep together because that was how it was meant to be. So, and with some letters, I found a correspondence concerning one topic, and, you know, I took all those letters together and kept them together,
as well as all the miscellaneous paperwork, because it was all related to one specific thing. So things that are related, I'm trying to keep together, but it's just, you know, so you need a very large table because you're slowly going through all of this stuff, you know, and it's, you're looking at, and as you read these things or go through them, you're looking at the people's lives. Like, I found, you know, the guys, W.E. Hutton's wife was named Joan Chapin, and they had some of her stuff from when she was a kid back in the 30s. So I found the piece of paper where, as a kid, she drew her hands when she was 5 years old and labeled it and wrote a note to her dad. You know, it's, how would you catalog that? You know, where would you place that? That might be placed in maybe personal papers or personal life, Joan Chapin. You know, so it's sort of developing as it go along, as I see more. I've gone through maybe one quarter. The collection is currently housed in a couple of boxes right now, like four or five big boxes. And I've gone through at least one of them and started to go through another.
And you think that when once you're finished with these boxes, your internship will be finished, right? That's the sort of plan, that you do just this collection.
Yes, I'm going to fully organize, describe a session, and build a finding aid for this entire collection.
Yeah, sounds like a good project. Any questions for Jeremy?
Yeah, I have one, actually. How is the preservation? Because from what I remember, preservation of the documents, they don't have any facilities in place. Do they or no?
They have the, you know what? You just do the best you can. If it's a letter, you keep it folded up inside the... You just do the best you can. You remove the staples, you remove the metal fasteners. If it's, you know, like I came across, I think, his military file. And I looked at it, and there were metal fasteners everywhere. But there was no corrosion. It was keeping the entire thing together. And it was an historical unit. So I kept all the metal. I kept, like, the big metal things, because this was a World War II military record from his days in the Navy. You know, it all. I would look at it. If the staple or the paper clip was corroded, I would take it apart. But I'm just also trying to be very careful. I'm just being very careful as I handle the objects.
Do they have any plans to update the facilities or no? In terms of preservation.
I don't know. I know they have materials so that I can put everything into archival quality boxes, archival quality folders, archival quality storage things. But they, you know, as needed, they call out, they contract out as needed. They had a visit. You know, it's done as on an as-needed basis.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
Hello. Okay, so that leaves us 5 minutes for Samantha.
Hello. I am actually interning at the Brookhaven Town Historian's Office. Can everybody hear me?
Yes, we hear you. You're a little bit weak, but fine. If you speak up, it will be just a little bit better, but otherwise we're fine, yeah?
Is this better?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I'm interning at the Brookhaven Town Historian's Office. I am considering, when I graduate, getting a going back for archival certificate, but I'm not sure yet. I would like a little break between school. So I thought by interning at the Brookhaven Town Historian's Office, it might help me make that decision if I definitely want to come back or not. So I started last Wednesday, only one day, and I'm doing it again tomorrow. And she has me doing a project where I am copying, I'm scanning old photographs from each town into Adobe Photoshop and saving them into a folder. And basically I'm printing out a copy of it, so this way the public can see it. So this way the real original copies won't get damaged by people coming in and looking at it. Right now she has me going through each town. I'm still in Belterre, if anybody knows where that is. It's right east of Port Jefferson. So I'm going to be going through all the towns of Suffolk County and scanning the photographs and making copies of it and putting the copies in a binder and putting the photographs, originals, away. So that's what I'm going to be doing. It's not necessary archival work, but I think it would help me with my interest in that and making my decision if I want to get the certificate or not.
Why not upload them onto the website?
I'm not sure. Well, I know that they recently moved from one location to Brookhaven Town Hall, so everything's kind of out of whack, and I know funding is a little limited, so I guess the time to have someone create a website for her and do it that way. That's a nice suggestion, actually. I should suggest that to her if she knows anybody.
I mean, since you already have Votar, and you simply upload them to the website, you know, and
right.
create a little, just a little heading and, you know, link to the picture.
Right.
Right? I mean, you know, I mean, I think you don't need anything really fancy at this stage. It just simply has a description and then a link to the actual picture file. So if somebody follows the link, they see the actual full file. That's it. I mean, later on, you could think about, you know, doing something a little bit more involved, which is, you know, to have a bunch of pictures and generate a set of thumbnails for them. Then each thumbnail would link to the picture. Something like that. I mean, it's not really that difficult to do. I've got a program in PHP that does it. I could help you set this up and just simply generate the thumbnails on demand, and it just, you know, does all the thumbnails. Because I think having these things up on the internet, I mean, is going to be multiplying the amount of exposure that the photos will go and get.
No, and you're right. And that's a good thing. I should suggest it, because it would also help me in remembering what I learned in your 650 class.
Mm. So. Yeah, I think it's not the worst of ideas. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. If you want to have any help, then let me know. I mean, if any of you guys, you know that I'm a geek. If you didn't know it, I tell you I'm a geek. Anything that can be done on a computer, I can do. I can't make it do coffee or prevent me from burning my breakfast, which I did this morning, but other things, yeah, I can get done. all right.
Yeah,
I think the bed is calling me again. It's 7 o'clock in the morning now. Yeah, I think I'm going to try to get on another couple hours sleep. Are there any general questions?
Nope.
When is the next
next
class?
I think it's on somewhere in July, the 15th or something like that. There is a gap because I'm away. You know, I'm away mid-June. So
it says July 11th.
July 11th, it will be. If it says July 11th, it will be on July the 11th.
Are we going to do the same thing?
Me?
Sorry?
Can you hear me?
Okay.
I just wanted to ask, is a daily journal sufficient? Should we just take notes each day, or...?
It depends on you. I mean, if you want to take notes, I think for me, it's. I mean, when I did my sabbatical year, I took notes on what I did every day.
Well,
so
is that the final product?
Write up my report on my sabbatical year was really quite easy because I have the notes that I've done every day. I guess it's good practice to do it.
I mean, are we going to hand that?
It depends. If you have a good brain and you can remember things. Right, then it's fine, you know, you just simply make a report later on and just simply write it all up as you overview your work. But if you are not particularly good at that sort of thing, keeping notes right now will at least help you to summarize later on, while you can decide on what precise structure that summary has, if it's going to be chronological or subject-oriented. You can decide that later when you come into doing the actual report.
Okay, so you want a summary in the end?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, my question was, are we going to do another Skype conference for them with this one, or are we going to be meeting in person?
No, there's going to be no meeting in person until August, unless somehow being kicked out of Russia, which is not likely.
Just wanted to check.
So it's going to be all on Skype. And I think, I mean, overall, I think the Skype call today has been pretty successful. I mean, at least we got started. We have everybody on there. We do have some problems with background noise, and we do have some problems with people disappearing off the Skype call. So we are now down to 10 participants. So we've lost Arifa, and I think we've lost somebody else. Jillian. I think Jillian has gone down again. I hear myself on an echo now. So sometimes we have some echoing problems. I'm not sure if they're coming from me or from somebody else. I'm not sure how you hear me, so maybe I do make some noise that is somehow, sometimes maybe I may be making some noise and you hear me and I create some distractions. I'm not sure.
Can I ask a question?
Hmm?
This is Frank. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to ask a question. The intern information sheet that we have to download from your website, I'm going to also hand that to Lori as well.
I guess so. Lori needs that information. I have some more email from her concerning that thing. But basically, she needs that information to send thank you letters to everybody. That's why she needs precise addresses.
All right.
I just want to say something about that date again, because it looks like, I don't know if they have July 11th, because that's a Saturday.
Is it?
But, well, the other dates were Tuesdays, so I know that August date is a Tuesday. So I don't know, maybe you want to change that.
Yeah, I don't know. Let me have a look what my thing says here.
I'll be working on that Saturday, so maybe
it's a Saturday. It shouldn't have been a Saturday. I thought it was going to be a Monday, a Tuesday, and a Wednesday.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's Wednesday, July 15th. It's not 11th.
Okay.
Somebody said 11th, but the information about 11th is probably not correct. At least not the one that I've written here, and I don't think it's the one that I've shown in the website. So it's
okay.
Any other comments on the quality of the Skype call and the Skype experience?
Can we use video?
Yeah, you can use video, of course, but I don't think you can use video with the Skype teleconference.
No, I'm
not aware of how it works. I mean, but I use video routinely. So if you and I would be having a private conversation, we can use video anytime.
Okay.
It's on a one-to-one basis.
All right.
And it works fine. I mean, especially in Siberia. I think my Siberian line is actually better than the line that I have at home in New York.
Well, you sound the clearest.
Yeah, it's because the the line that I have in Siberia is a symmetric line. It's a 2 gigabyte per second line.
Wow.
Which costs about $15 a month. So it really is, I mean, what happens here is that they have several providers competing with each other. They don't have a monopoly provider like the one we have on Long Island and whom I shall not name.
Yeah.
That sounds very stalkerish.
I mean, background. I'm not talking myself, but somebody else who has got me coming in on speakers. Now I'm gone again.
That was probably somebody from Cablevision.
Yeah.
Not me, although I work for them. I won't tell.
Okay, all right, guys. I wish you good evening, right? And if I can do anything for you, don't hesitate to contact me anytime. By the way, if you want to contact me, talk to me. I mean, contact me anytime, but please call me on the Thomas Grichel account, not the lecture account. The lecture account really is only when I give a lecture or we have a group meeting, then I'm used that account. But you know, in sort of instances, simply use the Thomas Grichel account.
If we're late to the conference. Do you want a regular email first to say, hey, I'm on, can you call me up since we can't call you?
Yeah, the problem with calling up is that if somebody's late for these meetings is that we have to interrupt the call. I think. There's no way for me to add you to an existing call. I mean, I may want to investigate this, but I think there's no way of doing that. So that's one of the issues that we're having, is that we can't... Yeah, here's Donna is just calling me now. She shouldn't be.
Oh, sorry.
All right, it was you. Are you still on there? Yeah, okay. So you were just... So the problem is I can't really add people. If I could add people, then somebody would say, oh, hi, I'm online. Please add me to the call. It would be easy. At least I, with the version of Skype that I'm using, I don't have that facility. Now, it may be that a newer version of Skype would have that facility. I'm running on Linux, so I have Skype version 2. But people who are running on Microsoft machines may have Skype version 3, and Skype version 3 may allow people to do that sort of thing. So one way we could do with this is to design somebody who has a Microsoft machine as a call facilitator, right? Whom everybody else would be sending in a message and saying, you know, I'm now there, please add me to the call. And then they could add them to the call, to the conference call, right? But I don't see that facility available, and I think that's the facility that we're really lacking here.
So on July 15th, what time? At 6 o'clock?
It's going to be 6 o'clock again.
Eastern? Okay.
Eastern, yeah. I'm trying to talk only about New York time, because if I bring in Siberia time, everybody gets confused. It's also a different date, because today it's already here. It's already the 3rd of June, right? It's not the 2nd of June. No, it's Wednesday here.
Okay.
Any other concerns? Any other comments on the quality of the experience, since it's the first timer for most of you? Well, I hope you enjoy Skype. I think it's a really neat tool. You know, it's very useful for me, obviously, to stay in touch with people who are, you know, I'm working with a number of people that are spread around the world, you know, in my projects. So it's really, really quite good. Okay, we're already overriding about 8 minutes, so I suggest we close.
Okay.
Goodbye. Good night, everyone.
Goodbye.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye. Bye. Good morning.
Morning.